Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining us here on the show to look ahead to the championship games this weekend, eight-year NFL offensive lineman played for the Kansas City Chiefs. And, of course, the Chiefs hosting the AFC title game. Also, rooting interest in that game via family. Also, an NFL analyst for SiriusXM NFL and the Action Network, our friend Jeff Schwartz. Jeff, good morning.
Yes, I will be there in Arrowhead, freezing my little tail off. But I was not going to go, and I figured, you know what? How many times is your brother going to play in an AFC Championship game? So, an AFC Championship game, doesn't matter. Either way, so I'm going to be there. It's going to be the highest 10 for the day. They said it could get to negative 15 wind chill, but I'll be outside during the season.
Negative 15 wind chill. How does Jeff Schwartz dress for negative 15 wind chill?
So, you know, I don't know if you were in Minneapolis for the Super Bowl for Radio Row last year.
I was.
But, yeah, so I had to do radio at 6 a.m. for Sirius. Not had to. I mean, I was fine doing it. But so I got up and drove in over to Mall of America. It was negative 22 one morning.
Mm.
So I still have a jacket that I bought when I played for the Vikings. So it's a negative 40 rated Carhartt. It's fantastic. Not a problem with my upper body. I got a face shield. I got a beanie. I got gloves. I ordered thermal pants. Not even thermal tights. Like thermal pants and some thermal socks. I have my snow boots. I don't know how I'm going to wear them. I feel that I'll be uncomfortable for many hours. It's only supposed to snow Saturday. So the hand warmers, I'll be ready, man. I just, you got to do it, right? You got to do it. Obviously, the game being 0 degrees is an element that's hard to predict how the game's going to go, obviously, because how do you predict how that's going to go? I mean, you know, Tom Brady, I'd say, has probably played in more of these games. I don't know if he's ever played in a game that cold than has Pat Mahomes, but we thought the cold would mess with the Chiefs the other day, and it definitely didn't. So I don't know how this is going to affect the game, really.
I wonder as well, because you're right, Brady has played far more of these at really sub-zero temperatures, except a slick turf, a frozen turf, it's a grass field at Arrowhead, it can't help short passing if everything is built on crisp route running and timing, which really Brady is, right? I mean, it's not, Brady doesn't wait for his receivers to make a play. They've got to be in the exact spot when he's got to hit them. And that can't help that timing offense.
No, it can't. And I will say, Kansas City does. They spent millions of dollars to install the heated field, right? So they can, so the field should not be frozen at least, which obviously is important when we talk about this game. But I will say, you know, the Chiefs are also a timing offense. I mean, you know, Mahomes does more obviously after the snap as far as moving around the pocket than does Tom Brady. But they're a West Coast offense, right? They run a lot of the RPOs, a lot of slants, a lot of timing stuff. So, again, I don't know how the, you know, this will affect the Chiefs. They do play on grass, obviously, more often than do the Patriots, who even in division only have one division opponent who's on grass. So that's, you know, that's now 10 of your 16 games a year, at least on turf. So, yeah, it's going to be a factor. They're going to probably have to wear spikes, and it's going to be different than what people kind of maybe expect. But it kind of does go both ways a little bit here.
Jeff Schwartz joins us this morning on the show to look ahead to the championship games. Patriots can run the football very well. That might end up being the difference in this game. But then again, the Chiefs haven't really fallen off without Kareem Hunt. Damien Williams has done a really good job. In terms of who you trust more running the football in this matchup, is it going to be New England?
Well, it's interesting. You know, the Chiefs in New England have about this, I'd say, same sort of offensive lines as far as they both have really good tackles. They have a good center. You know, they have some good pieces, you know, here and there. So their offensive lines are about the same. It's a matter of what run defense you're playing against. And, you know, the Chiefs' run defense is just not very good. The problem is, and this is what happens when you play the Chiefs. This is what happened last week. It's what happened when teams come in there. The game plan is always the same. because the Chiefs, we know, have a good pass rush. Okay? They have 52 sacks in the regular season. They came at Andrew Luck last week. And they play much, much better, by the way, at home, which is interesting because, for whatever reason, they're just a better defense at home. They've been that way all year. Haven't played great offenses, but they've held those offenses. They have played under their season totals, so they've played really well. The game plan is the same every time. I'm going to say it's the same this week. Run the football. So you run the football. You keep the ball away from Pat Mahomes. You control the clock. You control the crowd. What happens is if you get down 14-0, do you stick with your game plan? The Chargers, when they played the Chiefs, did that because the Chargers got stops on defense. They were down 14-0 and just kept running the ball, running their offense. Eventually, they won the football game. So New England, if they come down and go 3-0 the first drive, Kansas City scores, New England punts the ball again, and they get down 14-0, do you stick to your game plan, which has to be run the football and complete some play-action passes, take advantage of Eric Berry not being in the middle of the field probably. So will they stick to what they should be doing is a big part of when you play the Chiefs.
I felt as though the Chargers getting blown out was a coaching and quarterback failure. I just felt like defensively they didn't do what they needed to do, which they did against the Ravens, against Belichick and Brady. And that at quarterback, I mean, Phillip Rivers melting down on the officials cannot help climb out of a hole. What did you think was the biggest reason? To me, I don't think the Chargers are 40 points worse than the Patriots, but they were at one point in that game. What do you point to why they got blown out?
Yeah, Rivers, I mean, that's who he is, right? He's always going to try to get an edge with the officials. The complaining didn't help or hurt the game. It just looks worse when you lose, obviously, to be complaining like that. I will say it was a coaching blunder, in my opinion. I mean, you have – it's interesting. I don't know if people either underestimate Belichick or just think that he's not as good as he really is. I mean, but the Chargers came in this game with that hybrid defense thinking that the Patriots were going to run what they normally do, and they did. They came out around power football. This is the one thing that I just don't understand I appreciate this, but other people in the NFL don't, is – Bill Belichick is so multiple what he can do, right? He can do whatever he has to do that week. I remember we played him in 2015, the only time I played him that I can recall as a starter. So, we came into that game. I was on the Giants. It was middle of the season. And we prepared for three different base defenses. Normally, teams have one base defense. New England had three. And we actually got the third of the three we thought we'd get that game. And that's what they can do, right? So if they come out and you run this hybrid 4-1-6 defense with seven defensive backs, they'll just run the football, and they did. And then they play action pass, and then you have secondary players playing linebacker who don't know how to defend a play action pass from that spot on the field. And they took advantage of this, and eventually the Chargers changed their defense and played better in the second half, but by then it was too late. So we keep people in the NFL keep continually underestimating how multiple the Patriots can be, and they just taking advantage of it.
Jeff Schwartz joins us here on the DA show, and I want to talk about coaching in the Cowboys and Rams game, because in an article for The Ringer, right guard Austin Blythe of the Rams talked about how they knew what the Cowboys defensive line was going to do. I'm going to read this for you and the listeners. Blythe said, usually they like to play a three technique. But if my guy got a little wider and looked like he was going to play the left or right tackle, he was going to slant out and we were going to get another movement from the other side too. If the tackle is going to come in, the tell is going to come in from the other side. Asked how often that was accurate in that game, Blythe said more than 90%. Was that great coaching by the Rams to look for that tell, or is that a problem by Cowboys coaching that the tell was so obvious?
Everyone who plays the Cowboys knows this stuff. I'm surprised he said it out loud. I mean, it's like they're not complicated defense. They're a cover two team. They pirate. They stunt serve defenders depending on the coverages. It's not a surprise when you play them. Everyone knows what they're doing. They just execute it better than you at times. And the best offensive lines, and the Rams are one of them, just study this. And look, you can be told the tendencies all you want by your coaches, but you have to go out on Sunday and see them. Right? I mean, you could say, oh, if he's wider, this is what it is. But if you're a lineman who doesn't really pay attention to those little details, your coach can tell you all you want and it doesn't matter. But the Rams have an offensive line that does. I'm just surprised he said that out loud, because that's not a surprise. I mean, I've played the Cowboys multiple times. I knew what they were doing. I call it out. Oh, Pirates here, whatever it is. And you have to be good enough to get to cut the guy off and get off on the snap count. And they know that you know. And you have to be better than that. So It's not a surprise. No, it didn't surprise me when I saw him say that. People freaked out, of course, on social media that the Cowboys, there's no surprise what they do. The NFL, there's really not a lot of surprises. I think people get romantic and fantasize about these great these great adjustments that teams make, and it's really not a lot of times. It's little things here and there. It's little advantages here and there. Sometimes attacking one player in a certain play. There's just not – it's not as much fooling as you think there is.
Can you tell me if you can put a finger on why the Saints' offense hasn't been as explosive the last month, including the Sunday win over the Eagles, as it was earlier in the year?
Well, they played the three road games, and they're just not as good on the road. They played that stretch where it was the Cowboys, the Panthers, and the Bucks. I think it was the Bucks, the Panthers, and that's the way that order went. But they're just not as good on the road this year. At home, they averaged 37 points a game when Drew Brees was starting this year. At home, he didn't start Week 17. What happened on Sunday was the Eagles just – their defensive line controlled that game for the first about 18, 22 minutes of that game. We saw a lot of holding penalties on the Saints. We saw some procedural penalties. We saw some false starts. Obviously, some delay games. Just weird things we hadn't seen. They just looked rusty. So I'm not terribly concerned about it, but I do think teams have figured out that besides Michael Thomas, there's no one else to throw to. It's actually quite interesting that the Saints have had the success. When you look at their talent on the edges, they really don't have very much. Now, Ted Ginn being back is huge. And we saw the first play of the game. He was open for a touchdown. And Drew Brees missed him. So having him back is huge. But with Talib back for the Rams, you put him on Thomas, and Thomas is a great player. I'm sure he'll have some catches. But where are the Saints going to go from there? You double him, you double Kamara, you double Thomas. That's what the Eagles did the first game. That's what they did yesterday, or just now it's on Sunday. I'm interested to see how the Rams go about defending the Saints.
Jeff Schwartz joins us here on the DA Show, NFL analyst for SiriusXM NFL and the Action Network. And not only are you an NFL analyst, you're also a Pac-12 analyst, also for SiriusXM. And I know how excited you are for Pac-12 basketball this year. What a tremendous season this has been for the conference in hoops, huh?
we did a whole show yesterday. My regular Sean O'Connell was out. I was on with George Schroeder, who's stuff for USA Today for college football. And we just talked about basically NFL and Kyler Murray for 3 hours. And in the middle of it, George was like, you know what? I like doing this show because we just don't talk about Pac-12. I'm like, what are we going to talk about? We're going to be a one-bid league, probably, unless the winner of the conference tournament is not the winner of the regular season. That's the way we might get two teams in.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we're not getting anyone in. We are awful. I mean, Arizona State's our best team, who lost to Princeton, then lost to Utah, and kind of back-to-back games. And then UCLA fired the coach, and they've been better since Alford's gone. They beat an Oregon team who was up by 17 points with 7 minutes left at home and lost. It's just bad. USC was supposed to be good. They're 2-2 in conference. Arizona the sanctions are the appearance of sanctions have hurt Arizona mightily. That's a problem. But I mean, yikes! It's So we don't even we avoid it as we can. But obviously, at times you have to talk about it. But what am I going to talk about today about the Pac-12? There's nothing to talk about.
I love the hosts of the Pac-12 radio channel going, oh, I like this show. We didn't have to talk about the Pac-12 today.
But I would love to talk about the Pac-12 conference, but I don't know what listeners would want to hear us talk about. Like, you can only talk about how much our conference is not good in basketball for so long. I'm not, you know what I mean? My boss, I don't know. I don't know what to say. What do I say? What do you say? You cover college basketball. What is positive about the Pac-12?
I don't talk about the Pac-12 for exactly that reason. There's nothing to talk about. They stink.
Right. I wish we were better. I mean, we do talk about often about how we should be better and what we can do to fix that. Obviously, there was that long series on Larry Scott and the conference and what we can do to be better. And basketball, we get recruits. Obviously, whoever UCLA hires as a coach is going to be huge because they have the recruits. That's not the problem. It's been coaching. So who they hire is going to be important. Bol Bol being out for Oregon has kind of took you know, taking that storyline, you know, out of our conference because he was playing well and he's been 7'3" kid shooting step back three pointers. It's a good story, but he's out for the year. He's going to declare for the year. He already left school. He's going to, you know, he's going to the NBA draft. So there's just not much to talk about. I really wish we could talk about that all day, but we can't.
Jeff Schwartz, you be warm coming up on Sunday, okay? I want to see how those thermal pants work out for you.
I'll probably sweat anyways, knowing myself, but okay. I'll give it a go. I'll let you know how it goes.
All right, man. Thanks, buddy.
Take care.
Jeff Schwartz joining us this morning on the show.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.